Place to Be Nation Wrestling. Welcome to a brand new wrestling pod here on the Wrestling Feed. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and we want to welcome you to PTBN Live, YouTube Roulette. And before we talk about the premise of the show and really what we're going to be doing, I would like to introduce, I'm the co-host, we're all hosts here, so I am taking actually the first episode, and then we're going to rotate hosts throughout the remainder of our pod, so you'll have a rotating group of hosts, but we will have the same crew. So first person I would like to introduce is my adopted son. He is also my co-host on way too many things, chicken salad, popcorn chicken salad, Highway to the Impact Zone, and he's also the new labeled Prince of the Inappropriate. I would like to welcome Logan Crossan. Logan, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, Sean. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing well. What do you think of your new nickname that I just gave you?
Unfortunately, it's very fitting. I won't lie.
Yeah, so make sure you listen to all Logan's pods because he'll say at least one or two inappropriate things in every single pod. So that's why he has the new nickname.
It's my gimmick at this point, so I can't deny it.
Well, if I am the king of the shit takes and you're my adopted son, you can have a prince moniker. And I think that's a good one for you. So my second host, co-host, is also doing pods with me. So that just shows, again, I'm doing way too many pods. I'm over on the Pop Feed. We do Pop Goes to the Couch. And we also do Battlestar in the 25th Century. Scott Shiflett, how you doing tonight?
Sean, it's great to be here with, you know, the King of the Shit Takes and the Prince of Inappropriate and our fourth member that we're going to have, the giant of this, of our little NWO faction.
Yeah, and it's good to have you on an actual Wrestling Feed pod because I feel like all you do is kind of cater to Andy over on the Pop Feed.
Coming in hot.
No, I'm joking. It is good to have you. It is good to have you on a show with us on the Wrestling Feed, Scott. I'm very happy to have you.
Yeah, I'm happy as well. I've had some like guest spots on, your NWA Crock and Roll, and also the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. So it feels good to be. I discovered these podcasts via wrestling, so it feels good to be finally doing a wrestling podcast where I'm a co-host. So thank you.
Yes. So welcome. And finally, speaking of the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast. Which is, by the way, one of my favorite podcasts over on the North-South Feed. I would like to welcome one of my favorite people, Jambalaya Jake. Jake, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, Sean. I like that you're trying to paint Shiflett as Andy's young boy here. Over there under Andy on the Pop Feed. No, I'm excited. We haven't talked about the concept, but we don't have to do notes for this pod. So this is like my Slacker dream come true.
Yeah, I was thinking about this concept. And so let's talk about the concept a little bit. So obviously the WWE Network has kind of shit the bed on us, and we're waiting for most of it to be updated on Peacock. You know, some of you, not so much. You guys have found residence in Singapore and things like that, so you're getting other means to the network. But most of us in the regular world are just using Peacock. So when we were doing we've done all these recently live watches. So we did the WrestleMania pod live watch, which was an amazing live watch. That was a lot of fun. Over on Crock and Roll, we're kind of going back and picking Crockett matches from YouTube. So I was thinking about, you know what, most of the PTBN audience probably doesn't have, like I said, their residence in Singapore that gives them the network. They have Peacock. It's like, you know what, YouTube's free. Why don't we go back and we do some kind of podcast around YouTube? So here's the premise. There's four hosts, and we're going to do this podcast once a month. And what we're going to do is we're going to kind of call it the roulette wheel. So every host that hosts each show picks four matches. And the four of us are going to live watch those matches here on the show. And at the end of each match, we're going to rank them and rate them. And we're going to talk about them all as we watch them, but we'll rate them at the end. And what we'll do is we'll keep a running tab on our podcast. So at the end of every show, we'll say, okay, well, where does this match rank versus the other ones we watched? And I'll keep track of that for everybody. So, you know, it's pretty easy. I can use pen and paper, unlike me trying to record this podcast prior to recording tonight. So I can use pen and paper for that. So, yeah, so I thought it'd be great just to go back. And YouTube is a plethora. I mean, YouTube is a plethora of archives of great wrestling, bad wrestling. Just, it's like a cornucopia of everything you possibly want from wrestling, probably more so than the network is, I would say. Wouldn't you guys say that?
Yes, because the cock has ruined it all.
Yeah, well, cock tends to ruin a lot of stuff.
Yeah, anyway. And a cock ruins most things, so.
Correct. All right, So does that pretty much outline what we're doing here, guys? Do you think that was a good enough explanation, or one of you young lads like to kind of pipe up and say anything else about it?
Yeah, I think we're good. Seems pretty straightforward.
Okay. Old
man wisdom worked on this one.
All right, good. I'm glad it worked out. All right, so I am the host, so I have picked the four matches for this evening. And so the first match we're going to watch, and I'm not going to say what all four are at once. We'll talk about that. Our first match on the roulette wheel, and this kind of took me back to Jake, your podcast, Ruthlessly Aggressive Podcast, because this match takes place, I believe, a few months before the Ruthlessly Aggressive era starts. And it's going to be the CM Punk versus Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio match for the IWA World Heavyweight title. I guess it's a world title. This was an independent show, and this was shortly before Eddie returned after his drug stupor before he went back to the WWE, I believe, in April of that year. And this is several months before Mysterio actually comes in. So kind of, Jake, kind of in your wheelhouse from a timeline standpoint.
Yes, I remember talking about this actually right before Eddie came back, like what he was doing. And I will say, well, I'll save it for when we actually talk about it. But yeah, for sure, it's his. I know this is right before he returns to WWE. But I know, I will say he had a pretty good reputation for it. He definitely didn't have a reputation for like slumming it here. Like he, by all means, like put in full effort in these matches. So I'm excited to watch this one.
All right. So again, this is on YouTube, guys. Is everybody ready to start this match?
Yeah, and before we start, I'm already at 0-0-1 here, and like there's CM Punk there, and there's a guy in the background that, Sean, it looks like if me and you had a love child.
Ooh, that is an awful thing to say, Scott.
I'm just saying, he's the guy in the black jacket right there sitting, and I'm just like I've been laughing the whole time I've had it up, like. Well,
If you guys ever wanted to see what a Shiflet and Scott Love or Shiflet and Sean Lovechild looks like, I guess. Oh my God, you're right. Is that the guy in the black hoodie?
Yes.
Holy so shit!
Not only am I fantasies now.
Wow. Well, it definitely looks. Jesus. He definitely has your face. Anyway, are we ready to go 3-2-1 and hit play?
Yeah.
God
damn
it.
Yes.
Let's go. All right. Let's like talk this stupid shit while watching the match. All right. All right. So I'm going to say 3-2-1 and hit play. So 3-2-1 play. So first thing I noticed is obviously the love child, but it also looks like they're in a bingo hall because I see bingo numbers up on the wall.
Oh, no, this is straight up a school auditorium, no doubt about it.
And why does CM Punk have the world tag team title from the WWF on his shoulder?
Oh, wow. Rey without the mask. That's I'm kind of shocked to be seeing that so late. I'm just so used to him being with a mask in WCW and then coming to WWE with the mask. You know, he looks 16 years old there, maybe 17.
Like, without the mask and not wearing those like overalls that he used to wear in late WCW.
Yes, and the horns.
Yes.
So this is kind of cool. Like if I was in a high school gym or bingo hall watching this match, I mean, and I went back and thought about watching this now, this is a pretty historic match right here.
It really is. Looks like Great Value Jeff Hardy is with CM Punk there. I can't tell who that is. I know it's not Colt Cabana, so.
Well, it's not really my job to research who's with Punk. We're just here to watch the matches and enjoy it.
I'm just saying. That's what it looks like.
It looked like Jimmy Jacobs, if I'm being honest, so I think that might be who it was.
Ooh, good call. Wow, Logan, pulling that one out of his ass.
I could be wrong, but yeah, look like him.
So obviously we have the commentary turned off, so I don't know who's on commentary or whatever. I assume it's maybe the high school principal sitting at ringside doing a commentary.
Yeah, that's customary at a indie wrestling match.
All right, the IWA title is on the line, and CM Punk is your current IWA champion, by the way.
I just think this would have been so crazy to see in, like, you know, 2002, 2003, because like these two, like Eddie and Rey, are like, you know, known as bona fide stars. And then, you know, you got Punk, who looks like, you know, it was just an indie darling at the time. And just to see all these three in the ring and realize it happened is just amazing.
Yeah, this look on CM Punk's interesting with the gym shorts. And I mean, other than that, he looks like CM Punk with the gym shorts. I didn't watch a lot of indie Punk, so I didn't see any of the Ring of Honor or anything of that. Did any of you guys watch his early stuff?
I watched the him and Joe trilogy, and I really liked that.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that.
But that was like after like he got signed and people were like, I was on the WrestleCrap forums. That's dating myself. And they said, you need to go out and watch that. And I was able to get my hands on, like, they released a trilogy DVD that I have somewhere around here.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I wasn't tuned in at that point to the, like, watch all the indie stuff. So I haven't really seen much of his pre-WWE stuff, honestly.
Right. And to be clear, you were born in 2002, right, Logan?
Sure. Let's go with that.
All right.
Ray's eyes are creeping me out. I know he always wears weird
contact. It's weird without the mask, right?
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. It was like, with the mask, it's acceptable. Here, it's just strange.
With this shitty little chin strap.
Yeah.
Yes, mask that never stays on for some reason.
That tiny clock on the wall is driving me insane
It like takes away from you a little bit because you want to watch this match with these three great wrestlers, and then there's this little clock on the wall that's distracting us.
And there's nothing else on the wall but that clock. It's just that little clock and nothing else.
And a little window up at the top with some kind of vent off to the side.
Yeah, and there's like a platform coming off of it, so somebody's definitely jumping off of that later in the show.
And don't forget the bingo. Don't forget the bingo numbers. They're up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so Ray and Punk are going to town on Guerrero.
I did like Guerrero just letting them go at it at first until Punk got thrown into Eddie's corner, and that's when they decided to like include Eddie into the match.
I mean, this is a pretty big match for Punk. I mean, Punk hasn't had profile matches like this up to this point. What year was his trilogy with Joe? Was it after this?
It was like 05, right?
Yeah. I want to say 04, 05.
So yeah, I would assume that if I were CM Punk at this time, I would think this is a pretty big deal right here.
Yeah, he's still pretty early in his career for sure. Like he probably only has a couple years under his belt. This ref, he looks like Kane's son. He's like the missing, who am I thinking of? From
like Kane's Eugene type son, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't mac that ref shirt at all, does he?
No.
he's all drooping out.
He also breaks the rule of being like, he's way bigger than like anyone in the match.
Well, he's definitely like the defensive coordinator for the football team.
I was going to say he's the son of the guy that calls the bingo numbers out on the regular nights here. That's what I was going to say he was.
That was a nice face buster from Ray right there.
Oh, yeah. The match has been pretty good. I mean,
I can't shit on it too much. Yeah. Oh, 619. I didn't know you broke that out before.
There's a lot of large people in this crowd.
Large people at a wrestling show? No.
No.
It's the demographic.
Large people.
A lot of large people.
The ring is like super low to the ground, too. The apron's not super high off the floor. I just noticed that when they went outside.
Now, this would be good since we're watching a match in this environment. Do you guys go to matches like in your local area, like in the local bingo halls and middle school gyms and such?
When I lived in West Virginia, I did. They used to have them at the firehouse.
Mm-hmm.
in the hall of the firehouse. So they used to have like all the old, like that's where you'd go and see like Greg Valentine and. You know, they would all have, like, Ron Simmons showed up one time to do autographs, but yeah, I used to go when I lived in West Virginia.
Got the gory special going on here.
I can't say that I have, Jake, because, like, where I live in Nashville, it's like a hotbed, but, like, I'm just like, I don't know if I want to go see some fat slob try to wrestle, even though it is, like, 10 or 15 bucks.
Well,
I've been real slacking with it. You know, probably once this pandemic ends, I'll probably start going. Sadly, just to get out of the house.
They only do midget wrestling around me, so I show like that. I'm dead serious.
It seems on brand that you go watch midget
wrestling. Starkville, capital of midget wrestling.
The Starkville Wrestling Federation with midgets.
Somebody, and there was one in Columbus, Mississippi, and somebody tried to get me to go, and I was like, no. Oh, wow, that was a cool little...
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, for an indie show, these guys are going to town. This is like they're doing some pay-per-view wrestling quality shit here.
Yeah, like I said, when I looked at the stuff when he was coming back to WWE, his reputation was that he kind of brought it in these, like it was kind of like a humbling experience for him, like Eddie, and he really like went balls to the wall in these matches and didn't like half-ass anything. Like, oh, he was trying to prove himself. Oh, buckle bomb.
Oh, buckle bomb.
Maybe one of the earliest buckle bombs you'll see.
A young Seth Rollins has taken notes.
Created by Eric Watts.
Actually, you're right. Eric Watts did it. Well, no, that was 3 years from this.
Yeah, I was going to say that was a couple of years later. So
I will say, like, I know it's indie wrestling and Punk was just, like, sort of starting out now, but, like, his gear looks so low rent right next to Eddie and Ray. Like, I think me and him have the same basketball. I'm wearing the same basketball shorts right now.
I think I am too, actually.
And for some reason, I could never get into Ray and Punk when in WWE. I know that was a dark period for some of you guys just from podcasts I listened to because, like, I don't know. I just can't take Ray serious as a main eventer when he was winning the world title. So, like, I don't know. This is, like, more of his element now, feuding with Eddie, which was also great. And with Jake, you'll get to it. The Richly Aggressive pod in like 6 years.
Ooh, that was nice. Freaking right out of the ring.
So I just had I have the YouTube captions on, which are notoriously unreliable, but it just had something about penis makeup, which it's hard for me to really tell because you never know with like these indie shows. Because some of the commentaries is kind of bananas on these shows. So I don't know if it's like a YouTube caption thing or if it's like, who knows, maybe they
Punk almost killed himself jumping off the rope right there. Yeah. That was rough.
Wow.
Just a little banana peely right there on the ropes. Wow. Yeah.
It's been a really good match. I mean, I know we've been talking all through it, but this match has been pretty damn good.
Are we sure Punk didn't get staph infection from Liss ring and not the WWE ring?
Probably both, honestly.
Ugh. Yeah, it looks rough. Oh.
Some blood in that ring.
Yeah, there is. Wonder what was going on earlier in the indie show. Where are you guys at on the minutes on yours?
I'm at
925 and counting. Yep.
925, okay.
Yep. Yeah, they've been working a pretty standard kind of fast-paced triple threat style match.
But I like how they're not really throwing the person outside, then it's just one-on-one. It's been like all three attacking each other.
Yeah, nice, nice little three-way going on right here.
Heyo.
Yeah, and we have they're all mounting each other right now, you should say.
Saturday special.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't know how it made through the YouTube practices, all three of them on top of each other.
Scott, the other Scott, is going to take that very offensively.
Oh, I did not mean it like that.
It's okay. Scott won't listen to this. You're okay.
Yeah,
it'll be taken out of context because it's a Sean podcast.
No. I think Scott knows what to expect on Sean pods. You're okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of three-way submissions going on.
Yeah, I mean, now we got heads between legs submissions. Sure. I don't know what's happening here. Yeah. I mean, I like it, though. I mean, at least, like Scott said, what I do like is they're not doing the trophy, throw one man out, two guys wrestle. It's all three of them. I really like that.
And they're breaking up different, like, the pinning attempts and the submission attempts. It's really good. Other, you know, major companies should take notes if they want to do, like, a three-way or a four-way, in my opinion.
I'm sure Vince was watching this, taking notes. He's like, oh, yeah, look at this. It's bingo hall.
Yeah, I'm sure 2021 Vince is in his office right now watching this in 2002 on YouTube.
I mean, it's more people they get on Raw each day.
The bingo board actually says Bonanza. Which is incredible.
It's a bingo bonanza.
I mean, this match has not slowed down. I mean, with the exception of the few submissions. Oh, that was a nice little, like, leaping blockbuster there. I like
that. Oh, that was.
Ooh, yeah,
that was badass. Nice. That was really nice. Buck Bagwell could go fuck himself on that one. Oh, sure. I love that.
I like the lime green that Mysterio has on here.
Yeah,
me too. But ever since you mentioned his eyes, Logan, it's freaking me out every time I see him.
So what freaks you out? Creepy. What freaks you out more, the clock on the wall or his eyes?
His eyes. Cause, yeah.
That clock is obnoxiously small.
That was a different, like, little spit. That was a different 619 where he kind of leaped over. That was weird. I didn't know. I don't know if that was a botcher. That was weird.
Yeah, I was going to say it's different that he didn't connect at all.
Is there anything late?
It looked like he just did a helicopter on top of his head. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, that was nice. Ooh. I like that.
Ooh.
Is there anything more late 90s, early 2000s than a Bronco Buster? And I like how Eddie finally, like, countered it. That should have been done from the very beginning.
Ooh, I like that pin, too, man. That's a tight pin. Nothing like a nice kick swift to the balls.
I mean, that was intense.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're really going. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
Yeah, totally digging it.
Three amigos. Here we go.
And to be honest, I didn't remember Ray doing the 619 outside of WWE. Did he do it in WCW and not just black it out because it's shit? Oh, that was nice.
Nice.
Sunset flip German suplex combo.
Man, I wish I could pay $5 to go to this indie show. I would have been that would have been freaking amazing to watch this.
There's really not a lot of people here either. Like, I've been to a decent amount, and there's usually a bigger crowd than this, and without Eddie Guerrero on the card and Rey Mysterio. So,
do you wear your lucha mask when you go? Like some of these fucking marks in the crowd?
No,
like so, like
Elder, save that for the bedroom.
God damn it, Jake.
Jump by and Jake. Oh, look at this. Oh, bam.
Oh, my God. This match has been fucking great, too.
Wow.
Oh, Eddie wins.
He got it.
Eddie just won the IWA heavyweight title. So, Jesus Christ. What a hell of a match. And that home stretch was amazing.
Yeah, I think he gives it back. Because this is, he's still not going back to WWE yet. I think he gives it back in his last match.
He actually loses it to Punk back the very next night.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I actually did research. Aren't you guys proud of me?
Yeah.
That would be against my nature, Sean. I can't be proud of you.
Yeah, well, that's okay. But yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. That was a hell of a, that belt's terrible, though. It looks like a toy belt.
Well, Punk did have the, you know, 90s tag team title with him earlier, so who won that?
Yeah, I really don't know what that belt was supposed to be. It was clearly the world tag team title from WWE. I don't know what that was supposed to be.
Sean's expecting to spend like $50,000 on the Bonanza Bingo Hall world title.
What? Wait, was he about to do Spinneroonie? What was that?
Yeah, he was.
I think he did it off camera, honestly.
That was pretty funny. That was a hell of a match, guys. So, what do we think? So I'll go over to Logan first. What did you think of the match? What would you give it?
I'd probably give it, I think it was 4 stars. I think it was really strong.
Yeah, and you know what? Also, guys, really quick, that was what, 14, 15-minute watch tops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to Logan. I'd probably go 3.75.
All right. Scott?
I'm going with my boy Logan, 4 stars as well.
Yeah, you know what? For an indie show, I can't imagine you go to an indie show, you know, besides one of the more famous ones. But if you're just going to a random high school bingo hall show, I can't imagine it'd be better than this. I think I'm going to go to the full 4 stars on that too for 14-minute match. I mean, and again, we talked about triple threats typically or the trophy two people. All three of these guys worked their asses off, so I'm all in on the 4.
Yeah, it was a great match, and just. I want everyone like listening. I hope you were watching as well, but go out of your way to see this. It was great.
Yeah, so we came in hot. So I'm gonna let everybody load up for the next match. So our next match, this is probably more of a typical Sean wants people to watch something really bad match, but this is from the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. It is Tina Ferrari versus Colonel Nanachka for the Glow Crown. Does anybody know who Tina Ferrari is?
It's Ivory from WWE.
It is Ivory. And this match is, I want to say this is her last match before she goes over to, I think it's called PAL, the Powerful Women of Wrestling, or it's another women's federation. This is from the mid 80s. And Tina Ferrari is your current Glow Crown champion. Nanachka is a Russian, well, supposed to be Russian, but she's really like this model and talks like really, like, we always make fun on Crock and Roll about how Nikita Koloff talks in Russian. Her accent's way worse. So anyway, this has been built like a big, huge feud where, you know, the Russian challenges the Americans. So this is kind of a big deal in Glow syndication. And then what's also interesting that I'll say about this is Pluto TV, and just a free plug for Jenny here over on the Jenny position, does the have you heard about Pluto Pod? Glow over on Pluto On Demand has season 3 and 4 of Glow on Demand, and season 3 is all about the title reign of Colonel Nanatchka. If anybody really wants to go watch that soap opera. Oh.
So Sean, I didn't watch Glow. The only knowledge I have of it is like reading about it in old PWIs and watching the TV show, which was amazing. So was Nanatchka, is that supposed to be Alison Brie's character from the Glow series?
No. Oh. I think Alison Brie would, well, she wasn't Russian.
I thought she was played a Russian in the
on Glow. Alison Brie didn't play a Russian, did she?
Yeah,
I think so.
Oh, I never watched. I didn't watch the show, so I wouldn't know. Oh.
Zoya the Destroyer.
Yeah, Zoya the Destroyer was her name. Yeah.
I mean, it's possible, but I mean, yeah. So you'll see what we're talking about.
Sean only watches the real shit of Glow. Okay? And fuck
I don't
a
have
TV
a,
show.
I don't have a time to watch an hour of a TV freaking Great Value Glow. I'm gonna watch the real bad shit from '85. So, all right. So are you guys loaded up on it?
Yes, I'm ready to go.
All right. So the good news is this match is only 6 minutes. So let's shit on it as much as we can. All right, so I'll go 3, 2, 1, and hit play. So 3, 2, 1, play. So have any of you ever watched, I think, Scott, you said you never watched this. Have the rest of you, have any of you watched any of the original Glow?
I think I've seen bits and pieces, but not enough to really know much of anything. Not a historian of it like yourself, Sean.
All right. Okay, so every Glow wrestler, they have a rap that introduces themselves. So here's Nanatchka rapping her little spiel. So when you go back and watch this, if you're watching this from home, make sure you listen to all the raps that the women do. It's pretty funny and terrible.
She's got some baby doll energy. She's like a Russian baby doll.
Yeah, that's probably a good analogy. Not bad costume. I mean, this is Tate at a casino, if you couldn't tell already, with their nice little elaborate peak ropes.
It's definitely interesting.
Pretty good.
Is that girl supposed to be a giant because she stepped over like the highest rope? So is she supposed to be like Oksana? Was that her name from the WWE?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Honestly, I'm not going to compare these wrestlers to anybody in the WWE whatsoever, because they're glorified people that answered a one ad in a newspaper to do a wrestling show in freaking Las Vegas, and they got lucky. And there is Ivory, Tina Ferrari.
Oh, so she's like the all-American girl from the gist of it.
Yeah, I told you, this is like the American versus the Russian. She's the champion and very, very popular back in the day.
She's all American. She shouldn't have been Tina Ferrari. She should have been like Tina Chevrolet or something. More American.
Or Foxy Tina. Ford or something. Yeah. Come on now.
Tina Ford.
She's quite muscular, Tina Ferrari. And then a nice little ass shot there as she gets in the ring. And the Nanatchka's having none of it. And here, let the bad begin.
Oh, she's knocking in the hurt lock. Here we go.
Oh, look at this.
Oh, atomic drop.
Oh, nice. Ooh, nice atomic drop.
Ooh, that was like
I thought it broke Ivory's legs, but
broke it's like that
a back.
Ass.
It's like a back breaker on the ass cheek. Ass cheek breaker.
That was a vag breaker.
Nanatchka ain't playing around, man. She's fucking some shit up.
My favorite comment in the last match was Scott calling the people that wear mask marks as we're doing a podcast.
I know.
You know what's great? You know what's really a lot of fun for me is I've like done a lot of pods with Scott, and I've seen the evolution of his podcasting, and I am very, very proud of him, because he used to be very shy, and now he just throws shit out there like the rest of us. So, Scott, I'm very proud of you. I needed to throw that out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
In the meantime, we have a 4-star classic going on in this ring.
Oh, my
Jesus
God.
Jesus Christ.
I would classify it as a scrum currently happening. Very scrummish.
Ooh, it's nice little dropkick there.
That's a nice dropkick. I'm really shocked that Ivory got into the WWE.
Oh, look at this. Nice.
Ew.
That's a nice little head scissors right there.
It's like a Ricky Steamboat head scissors takedown.
You can't say that.
Yeah, look at that. For Ferrari bringing her best steamboat.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, and now she's about to eat some shit. And there it goes.
I thought she was going to do the Alabama slam. I was like, she may kill Ivory.
The Siberia slam.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it. And not Jake said it great. A great value Russian baby doll. That's a really good analogy. Oh, look at that. Oh,
oh my
that,
God.
Oh, that was oh. Big, big box.
What an, what an impact. What an impact.
Oh, now we're getting some good arm limb work.
Oh, working the arm.
I love how when she picked her up for that supposed to be tilt-a-whirl backbreaker, all of us went, oh, because we thought she was going to fucking land right on her head.
Oh, my God. That was terrible. The Natchka leaps up, and freaking Tina and just lifts her legs up and pushes her off.
And instead, she just slid down her knee like a slip and slide.
Tombstoner, honestly. Oh. Shit, this is gonna
I thought Nanatsuka was about to do an RKO. Oh, look, there it goes again. Just pushes her off at the leg.
Oh, good. Okay. That was pretty cool. I kind of like that.
Ivory, you can't tell. Yeah.
What the hell is going on? Man, there's more false pins here than Steamboat Savage.
Oh, shit.
I love that they do these like reversals, but nobody like grabs anyone to make the move. They just kind of, they just like roll, but their arms are like flat to their hips, and they just roll around. Like nobody's pulling anybody to roll over.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. Nanatsuka hasn't done much, but Ferrari has actually showed a little bit of.
Yeah,
at least he showed some skill. Yeah, I dig her. This is
just not hair pulling. That's all her move is. Oh.
Oh. What? Oh. Are we swing getting a Cesaro shot. Swing? Oh, that was nice. Oh. The Natchka's reeling.
And then we should also clarify, you know, before we rag on him too much, if you were to go and look at what, like, WWF was putting on in 85, it's not as if you're getting, you know, necessarily ring like, classics all the time in 85 WWF.
Can someone explain to me what that was with the body press that you just like simply just like pushed her over? What was that all about?
Oh my God. Like she's just like, this is like a chick fight right now. They're not even trying any moves. She's just like throwing her by her hair, trying to put her in the master lock. Oh, sorry.
But the Natchka is so bad.
It's the stall and stretch.
Yeah, she is bad. Oh, Nelson. Look at that! They just did the Bret Hart Austin.
Yes.
Holy shit!
Now we know where he got it from.
Bret Hart Ferrari. Here we go.
Was his ass straight up in the air like that? What he did?
Did they just count the three? So they did that. Holy shit! They did that Survivor Series pin. Holy cow!
So I think by that metric, it's got to be 5 stars, just like the Austin Bret match, right?
I think it's amazing that Glow was 11 years ahead of the curve on that finish.
That's what I mean. I think this is even better because I don't know if, Brett stuck his ass up in the air when he did it like she did.
I hate to correct y'all, but it happened at WrestleMania 8 first.
Oh, that's right. Roddy Piper, Bret Hart. Yeah, but that was 92. This is 85.
Oh,
and we have a new champion.
She definitely didn't have her shoulder up. That's bullshit.
Nanatsuka, okay, and that ends the match, and Nanatsuka is your new GLOW champion. So, quick 6 minutes. I can't wait to hear what you guys think about this. Jake, I'll go to you first. What'd you think?
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think it was that terrible. I mean, a lot of the scrumming wasn't, but there were some cool spots in there. I'd probably go like a star for the a couple of cool spots. It wasn't like trash, I don't think.
I think Nanatsuka was pretty bad, but I think...
She was, but I thought... There were some cool spots, but Tina Ferrari brought it a little bit.
All right. Scott, what did you think?
I'm going a quarter of a star. It was bad. There was a bunch of times where you could hear us go, oh, because we thought Tina Ferrari was going to get dropped on her head and paralyzed. So, and like you said one time, Jake, it was like a slip and slide when she went off the top rope. So, yeah, I don't even know how she won. Like, yeah. Sounded like the first screw job happened there in GLOW, not in Montreal.
I told you, GLOW was ahead of its time. Logan, what'd you think?
I'll give it a half star purely on the back that Ferrari busted her ass. I thought she did really good, but Nanatsuka was not good.
I'm amazed that we're all going so low on this, considering Steamboat Savage did a lot of the same stuff in their match at WrestleMania 3.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, I'm kidding, obviously.
And Brett took a finish.
Yeah, and Brett stole a finish from this match. So I'm actually going to go, you know what? I'll just even it out. I'll go 3/4 stars just to make it across the board. So could have been a lot worse. I mean, for a match from Glow that was 6 minutes, this is probably one of the better things you would find in Glow. So, and again, Tina Ferrari looked really good, because you could probably see why the WWE decided to take her long term. So, all right. So, guys, our next one. I have never seen this match, but I was a big fan of both these tag teams, particularly the Rockers. But Bad Company, I really enjoyed in the late, after they won the titles. I never saw them versus the Rockers, but towards the dying days of the AWA, they were one of the best teams they had. And they were managed by Diamond Dallas Page. So we have the Rockers versus Bad Company for the AWA World Tag Team titles. The Rockers are your champions. I believe this match is from 3/19/1988. And by the way, guys, before we get started, this is the Rockers' last match before they head to the WWF. So this is their final match in the AWA before they leave. So are we ready?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. I'll count. Logan, you ready?
All right. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. All right. So good old drunk ass Larry Nelson is your announcer. Larry was notorious for drinking quite a bit and sometimes slurring his words in commentary, a lot like Gordon Solie sometimes.
Yeah, this guy looks like he's an alcoholic. Like, he just has that look about him. He has, I call it the Arn Anderson, because supposedly Arn was an alcoholic.
Oh, that's such a, so here comes Bad Company. So Pat Tanaka, Paul Diamond was kind of in the independents, Pat Tanaka actually was in Crockett. He was a preliminary wrestler over in Crockett. And obviously, guys, the other thing about Bad Company, do you know what else is relevant about these two?
They were the Orient Express. Yeah.
Correct. They are the Orient Express. So when they come in as the Orient Express, but yeah, so Bad Company was their original gimmick. Did any of you ever, I assume none of you have ever watched any old AWA from this time frame, right?
That is correct.
I've seen the Rockers versus Summer and Rose. It was on a Shawn Michaels retrospective DVDs. I've seen those matches, but nothing else.
Yeah, that was from 86. So that was an all-time classic.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's a great one. But yeah, so anyway, funny story here about the Rockers, just to give you some history. They had left the AWA once and gone to the WWF. And if you ever watch any of the behind the scenes or read Shawn Michaels' book, they made one TV taping and they got fired for supposedly starting a fight at the bar. So they lasted for a cup of coffee in 87. They left and they were on the independents for a while. Then they came back to the AWA, and here's where we're at now before they go back to the WWF.
Ooh, a politically incorrect sign in the crowd. I don't know if you guys caught that.
No, I didn't catch it.
I can't make it out.
It's the F word.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Keep it classy, AWA.
Yeah.
Seems like right under the Prince of Inappropriate's alley.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's probably my ancestor somehow. So, I mean.
Good Lord.
Could be.
I should have a...
Go ahead, sorry.
I have a fun Pat Tanaka story. Speaking of going to indie shows, I once went to it. It was a benefit for Toys for Tots or something. It was like a wrestling thing. It was like outside at the fairgrounds, and the actual sheriff of the county wrestled, quote unquote, at this event, and Pat Tanaka was against him. And I later ran into Pat Tanaka at like WrestleCon and asked him about it, and he remembered, and he was pretty happy to hear about it. So close personal friend, Pat Tanaka.
Okay, so Scott, it's that F word. It's not the other F word.
Yes, yes, that F word. Yes, yes. Gotcha. It's real rough.
That's why I was like, Logan, you may not want to.
Yeah, you might want to. Sorry.
Now I see it.
Yeah, because I think if it was fuck, I don't think Scott would have been like. He's not like a second grader. He's like the F word.
Yeah, Logan, I ask that you not say anything about that sign, because I know it's killing you not to. So please refrain.
Lord. We're like, yeah, we know you, Logan.
I will say, we didn't mention this coming out, but the Rockers' glasses were just fucking ridiculous.
That's the F word.
Yeah, that is the F word we can say. Sean, I know the three of us are, me, Logan, and Jake are close in age. Did you have a pair of sunglasses like that in the 80s?
Maybe.
Firm, yes.
That was the correct answer, whether it's true or not.
Possibility. By the way, I talked about the last match being in a casino. AWA taped all their shows at the Showboat in San Francisco. So that's where they're at here is the Showboat, I believe.
Yeah, because I have read about the AWA when they went downhill, but then they just started like taping in like a pink warehouse, right?
Correct. They were the early Thunderdome adapters without the video screens.
Yeah, when Zabisco was their world champion.
Yep, Zabisco was their world champion, and Wahoo McDaniel was there as well. So,
God, he was already useless in 85.
Yeah, he was really bad in 88, definitely.
We lost Callum.
Yeah.
He won't listen anymore.
Yeah. All right, so the matches started off somewhat slow with headlocks and stuff, but we got some good tag teamwork going on, so they're kind of a slow start, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely moving slow. I'm a little shocked at how slow it is, especially with, like, Shawn in there. I mean, I know he's not the Shawn Michaels we know and some people love.
Oh, well, no, he and Marty are pretty damn good at this point already.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're. I mean, you got to remember, like, in a few months from now is when they're having those great matches in the WWE with the Brainbusters, so they're not that far off.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I've never realized is, like, I know people do it for a gimmick, but how disgusting would it be to wrestle bare feet?
Well, we know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I know. Sorry, Sean, I wasn't even, like, trying to trigger you with that. I was like, just like...
The amount of fungus on Tanaka's feet is probably frightening.
Hey, you leave my close personal friend Pat alone.
My dear close personal friend.
Are you going to invite Tatanka to the next meetup, Jake? I would love to meet him.
No, but I'll invite Pat Tanaka, not Tatanka.
Oh, sorry. Tanaka. Sorry.
That would be cool, too, though, if we could invite Tatanka.
I'm going to invite Tatanka. He loves Tatanka.
Strokes. Ooh!
That was a nasty clothesline.
Nasty clothesline. Turn to knock.
Oh!
Sean doing the Karate Kid pose after he hit that.
That was the best move of the whole match so far.
Yeah.
Oh, and an holy shit!
Jeez.
Oh my God.
Stan Hansen, Shawn Michaels here. Yeah, throwing out the lariats.
Yeah, I don't remember Michaels throwing out clotheslines like that ever.
John Bradshaw Michaels.
Well, Bradshaw did own Shawn Michaels in the late 2000s. I don't know if you guys remember that shitty storyline.
I was going to say underrated storyline.
I couldn't believe that Shawn lost all his money to bad real estate investments. If he would have said to drugs in the late 90s, I would have believed him.
Oh, and Tanaka just hit Paul Diamond. Paul Diamond is just so generic. Like, he doesn't... Oh. He just... Looks like Jobber Central. Look at that hair.
I will say I do love the bright colors because, like, everything is so dark and, like, brown, black, and gray now in wrestling. Having these bright colors is a nice difference.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Logan, go ahead.
I definitely feel like this is in, like, the middle of a bar. I feel like there's a bar in the background. Yeah.
The other thing I liked about Bad Company was their theme song because they came out to Bad Company.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so Jake, I might have you use that as the outro for this podcast, that song. It's a great banger of a song.
Well, see, I imagine them coming out to the Orient Express music, so. Boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom, boom. Marty's got a very Little Lord Fauntleroy, a little bowl cut thing going on right here.
Oh, wow. Jake. Well, yeah, I can't believe you pulled that one out. That's a kind little of an older dude. Guy reference.
That was
oh
for my you, God. Sean.
Thank you. Little, I can't even say it, right? I'll let Jake say it.
Little Lord, now you got me fucking it up. Little Lord Fauntleroy. He's like a little, like, if you ever see, like, the little picture, it's like a little kid, and he's got, like, a little fancy outfit on with, like, frilly cuff sleeves and a lollipop.
Yeah. Like Lord Farquaad? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar, but like a little boy.
It's like, okay.
It sounds like a mid-80s WWF gimmick. It sounds like this lollipop. There is a movie, a TV movie made with Ricky Schroeder in it based on him when I was a kid. Again, nice old reference. By the way, Tanaka's got some awesome sidekicks.
Tanaka just did the Judy chop in the corner before he got tagged.
God. Oh, that fucking sidekick's awesome.
Wow, he just killed Sean with that sidekick. And
back,
oh, my God.
Freaking awesome.
Tanaka can go, man. Tanaka can go.
He was really good in, like, early ECW, too.
He had a good match in WCW. I want to say Great American Bash 96.
Yeah, I forgot he was back there in the mid-90s again.
He sold his ass off for that sheriff at Toys for Tots benefit. I can tell you that.
By the way, Jesus Christ. By the way, so bad company. God damn it. So Bad Company's finisher is pretty badass too. So they do, you know, where they do that slingshot in the turnbuckle when they're on their back, like we saw in the last match where they lift them up and they do the slingshot in the turnbuckle. Diamond will hold him down on the mat and lift him up and slingshot him into a sabot kick. It's a pretty badass finisher, actually.
Oh, yeah, I hope we get to see it because I'm a mark for tag team finishers.
I don't remember if we see it or not, but if you want to look up their finisher after the show and go look on YouTube, their finisher is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, this one's heated up. It's gotten pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of had your standard slow build, and now they're really going at it. They've had some, like, Tanaka was
Tanaka and Sean. The Tanaka and Sean sequences were really good. Yeah. Were fun.
Stiff as shit.
Up.
Oh, now we're outside the ring. Oh!
Oh, shit.
Into the ring post.
He hit the ground pretty hard.
Yeah, and they're beating the hell out of him. No padding, so that's, yeah.
Well, damn. I think Jannetty is busted open at this point. Watch this. And it is over.
Oh, wow. I was not expecting that.
So kind of a sudden finish. Like, I was just heating up. I feel like I needed another 15 minutes.
Yeah. Jannetty is bleeding.
Yep.
The Crimson Mask.
That was a freaking weird count that he just did, too.
Well, it was a weird finish, right? Because
he was, like, headbanging to it. He was like, one, two, three, and, like, headbanging. It was weird.
And you're used to seeing people getting thrown into the ring post, but you aren't used to seeing them getting pinned on a title change like that, right? That was a little weird. Oh, look at that. What a gusher on that head.
Wow.
Boy, he looks like he just murdered somebody behind Dairy Queen.
It was a bowling alley.
Yeah,
it was a random trench in the woods.
So, new world tag team champion. By the way, guys, that was 14 minutes. That flew by.
Yeah.
It really did.
Flew by, and so I'll go around the horn, and we have new, and again, this is the Rocker's last appearance in the AWA. So I will go to Logan first. What'd you think?
I thought it was, it definitely picked up there at the end. I'll go 2 3/4. I thought it was pretty solid there at the end.
Okay. Scott?
I'll be going 2.5. Like Logan said, it was just, you know, speeding up, but the abrupt ending, you know, kind of hurts. I felt they were, you know, lean to something else besides they're throwing him into the turnbuckle, and then that's the end of the match.
Yep. Jake?
I'll go 3. I thought there was some killer selling there. Little bonus point for my close friend, Pat Tanaka.
You know, I'm gonna go with Jake. I love the Tanaka and Michael's parts of it. They look stiff. They look great. I wanted more, though. I mean, that was a quick 14 minutes, and I would love to see it be like maybe another 5 to 10 minutes, and you know, I guess they kind of went, they got 14 minutes out of a team that was leaving and they just went home quick to get him out of there. But yeah, kind of a cool little hidden gem there. I went 3. So, all right. So are we ready for
Hold up, Sean. How many times over under, how many times does Shawn Michaels say, I've got news for you in this promo?
I got news for you. I got news for you, Orient Express. We're coming after you, but it's going to be a couple years in the WWF. I got news for you. We'll rematch in 2 years. It's WrestleMania. Actually, it is 2 years, right?
Yeah.
A little over 2 years.
It's the opener, right?
Yeah. And
yeah.
It's a killer.
So yeah,
I think it's with Sato, though. I don't think Diamond's in yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So he comes in later. So Sato's there first. All right, so we are going to move to our last match, and this is definitely the longest match of the night.
Oh my God!
Okay, get over it. Let me do some explaining before we get into this match. So my very first wrestling match I ever watched, and no, it wasn't in 1920 like a lot of you like to joke about. My very first match I ever watched when I turned on USA Network one night, and I want to say it was in the 80s, was Cowboy Bob Orton versus Tito Santana. And that's the match that kind of got me hooked in wrestling, that match, and I was a wrestling fan ever since. So as I was going through YouTube, I found this match. This match, I believe, is from November 1994. It is for the American Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Title Tournament Final, and it's Tito Santana versus Cowboy Bob Orton, who's managed by Sir Oliver Humperdinck. So the first off, obviously, this is probably both well past their prime, but American Wrestling Federation was a syndicated program that was on in the mid-90s. You'll see throughout this match a lot of the same stars the WWE had in the 90s, so it's kind of a cool nostalgia thing to go back, watch, and I also wanted to see if Tito and Bob in 1994 could still go. So when I looked at the match and saw it was 42 minutes, I almost shit myself because, one, I feel like we're putting ourselves in a situation here for a complete and utter disaster, but I also figured if it was good, it was good, and if it was a disaster, we'd have a good time shitting on it. So does that make sense?
Sounds good to me, buddy.
All right. So is everybody ready to start this match?
Oh, yep.
Yes.
All right. Get ready for 42 minutes of fun.
Also, jump in. Jim Brunzel is the referee here.
I forgot to mention. Yes. So you got mid-80s WWF potpourri. Jumping Jim Brunzel is your referee here. All right. So 3, 2, 1, and we'll hit play. All right. 3, 2, 1, go. So 11/29/1994 from Cicero, Illinois. And great.
That belt looks like the winged eagle on the like red, white, and blue Rocky boxing belt strap.
It does. It looks a lot like the Rocky strap. So kind of a big crowd here, too. Look how big the crowd is out there.
Yeah, definitely more than WCW was pulling at the time.
The loyal fans of us.
Like Freddie Joe Floyd.
So
the
I feel like
loyal fans of Cicero, Illinois have shown up.
The ring announcer looks like a fat Justin Roberts, I think, a little bit. And then you got B. Brian Blair out there in the most generic outfit ever. Very non-ref. And here comes Oliver Humperdinck. Is there never a more non-manager of a Bob Orton than Oliver Humperdinck?
Great value Ginger Albano.
Yeah, he's always been pretty useless to me. And he was useless in the 80s when he was managing Bam Bam. And
the Freebirds. He managed the Freebirds, too.
Yeah, just and Cowboy Bob Orton. Maybe he should be taking care of his son so he doesn't drop out of the Marines. But, you know, what do I know?
You probably should send him to a psychiatrist. I heard he hears voices in his head.
That, too.
I hear they talk to him.
And they understand.
Imagine if Randy Orton had the like it looks exactly the same as he does now, but had like the Cowboy Bob like fro his whole career.
They looked a lot alike. And you know what's funny is they're wearing the same. I would like to see Orton in a fro. I also like their ring gear is the same ring gear they wore in 1985 here in 1994.
Yeah, Tito has the El Matador vest on. He also has the Lex Luger lighting from 93 WWF.
Yeah, this looks a little like a WCW Saturday night TV taping is what it reminds me of.
It really does. It just needs the ring that's rotating around. No, that was pro, not WCW Saturday night.
So Tito still looks like he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I'm going to see how old he was in 1994.
Orton. Also, when I see Orton, I'm surprised he looks like he's somewhat in decent shape, too.
Yeah, Tito hadn't gone full math teacher yet, so I'm just playing.
No, he hasn't. I mean, look at Orton. I mean, he still looks relative. I mean, he still looks the same as he did in the mid-80s, I think.
Yeah, Tito was 41 in
94.
94, yeah.
How old was the Cowboy?
Hey, Sean, do you want to know?
31.
No, he was 44.
Wow. I wish I looked that good at 48 because yeah. I don't.
Hey, Sean.
Well, I don't want to hear. Are you about to? What? How old were you here, Logan?
One.
Wow. Hey, you know how old I was here?
27.
At least 72.
21, you motherfuckers.
I'm sorry. I don't try to do the age shit with you, Sean. That just happened by accident.
It's kind of a gimmick.
It's my
you gotta embrace the gimmick.
Humperdinck looks like he's a middle-aged woman, so.
Yeah, how? Look up. How old is Oliver Humperdinck here?
Is he dead yet?
Oh yeah, he died a lot. Yeah, he's dead. Yeah, he's dead.
I got it, Scott.
Where's the Native American warrior Tatanka?
I think I need him in this match. I think he is in AWF at this time. I think he makes an appearance.
Oh, so we're doing rounds.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention it. This is 12 rounds. So the AWF does rounds in their matches. So they're like a lot boxing rules, and they take breaks in between. So it's just like boxing except with wrestling. That's what makes them different.
Okay, well, that actually makes it sound a little bit better, because I thought we were going to be in a, an arm wrench for 45 minutes.
No. It won't be like that Billy Graham's San Martino match we watched.
Cowboy's getting low in the match.
Yeah.
He's ready to hook a motherfucker. He's ready to go down, baby.
He's ready to shoot. Was 45 here.
Oh, wow. He looks all of 65.
Your first superstar in the audience who's watching this title match is Mr. USA Tony Atlas. Who wants to look up how old Atlas is there? We just might as well keep a running tally of everyone we see so far.
I'm looking it up.
I'm waiting with bated breath.
Well, I just want to see if everybody, in this match is like in their mid-40s.
Yeah, Atlas was 40.
All right, 40. So we're running the 40 gamut so far. Let's see what else we get later.
But all these guys look so much older than, like, you know, because AJ Styles is, like, in the mid-40s now, and, like, Triple H is in his 50s. But all these guys look older than shit right now.
Well, yeah, because Cowboy Bob looked like 40 when he was, like, 23.
Yeah, it's kind of like Arn Anderson. He looked the same age the whole time, right? The other thing I will tell you, because you don't listen to commentary, Terry Taylor is on commentary on this match.
Oh, Jesus.
Good old Terry Taylor. Good old Red Rooster.
We're doing better commentary than that piece of shit.
Jim Brunzel was also 45.
See?
I do like the different camera angles that they're trying to do. They're trying to do like more of a movie cinematography, it seems.
Yeah, presentation-wise, this isn't bad at all.
I mean, they might have, like, I don't know how long they lasted. I don't think too long, but, like, if they, you know, wrestling in 1994 wasn't really hot, so I could, maybe if it was, like...
You know what? Let me look it up while you guys... I want to say it lasted at least 2 years.
Oh, wow, that's longer than I expected, but...
It was on in syndication here where I lived. It was on late at night, like on Saturday nights.
Yeah, because it's weird, because wrestling maybe wasn't as hot as, but, like, TV and cable and stuff, like, they were just looking for stuff to, like, fill TV time. Because, like, cable is still relatively, like, new and stuff, so I think they were just looking for anything they could fill time with, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like this is, like, happening on an episode of, like, a TV show. It's a wrestling match, but it's on a sitcom.
it's like a match on Boy Meets World or something. Right?
Yeah, it's like
when Family Matters when they fought the Bushwhackers.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of got that vibe to me for some reason.
All right, so this the American Wrestling Federation lasted from 94 to 96. It was predominantly based in Chicago, Illinois. And use the European wrestling format of timed rounds, 4-minute rounds, with judges and points in the vein of boxing matches. So the company had two champions. I'm reading off Wikipedia. They had the AWF Heavyweight Championship, which this is a tournament final, and the AWF Tag Team Championship. I won't tell you who wins this because that would spoil it. Let's see. I'm trying to figure out if I can find out who the tag team champions were. Maybe we can make fun of that.
Probably the Road Warriors or something.
All right, so Terry Taylor was one of the main commentators. Terry Taylor replaced Lord Alfred Hayes on commentary. And then Missy Hyatt came in for a short run in 1996.
So Jesus Christ.
The best of the old people. All right, you guys want to know who the first AWF Tag Team Champions were?
Who? Bad Company.
Wildfire, Tommy Rich, and Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I'll put the asses in the seats.
The first and only champions. By the way, now we have Sergeant Slaughter on the screen.
Wait, important point in the match, guys. Who are you calling round one for?
Sergeant Slaughter.
I'm calling it a draw because that was some boring shit that first round.
Yeah, it was real bad in the first round. Like, they finally got going. Like, you know, they were just in a lockup for, it seemed like, 3 minutes. And then they finally got going with running the ropes. And I'm like, the end of round one. I'm like, you shitting me right now?
That felt like the mothership Madison Square Garden opener in 1985. That's what it felt like.
Also like that because after this round thing, so there's going to be so many instances of Humperdinck coming in and like coaching him. Like, what the fuck would he be telling him? This fucking fat ass. He's like, all right, you got to do it. Like, what is he going to contribute? Like, what is he telling you?
He should keep asking.
Go ahead, Scott. Sorry.
He should keep asking, where's your cast at? So he can just hit him with the cast.
Humperdinck with his vast wrestling knowledge to Cowboy Bob Orton.
I think my favorite, and by favorite, I mean most absurd, is Big Daddy Dick, that incarnation of Oliver Humperdinck.
With the Freebirds?
Yeah, Big Daddy Dink.
And then I think he managed the Wild Samoans at one point, too.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, didn't he manage him on the Starcade we watched for Street
He did, but he managed the Freebirds alongside Diamond Dallas Page in WCW.
That's right.
And by the way, very famous, he also managed Kevin Sullivan back in the Florida days when Sullivan was a psychopath with She Who Should Not Be Named because she was murdered by He Should Not Be Named.
Sergeant Slaughter is 46, by the way.
Who is? Slaughter? 46 Slaughter. At this point. Slaughter is 46. Okay.
And he was about to have a run a couple years from now against DX with Triple H. They had that boot camp match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's like one of the main roster wrestling stars in this right now.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah.
Helmsley.
Because they had like the thing where he was spitting on them and they had like the, they were the first people ready for COVID. They had the masks up.
Getting Jake, heavy.
Assault me a minute ago.
No, I was going to say, you said it looked like some of a TV show. As it goes on, I'm getting heavy like, that this will be happening at, like, the YMCA. It's, like, to, like see these two guys who are like, yeah, back in our day, we used to be wrestlers.
Ooh, oh. Some hot steamboat arm drag head action there going on.
Ooh. Nice jerking motion on this headlock.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, hot take, Tito's still good. I'm sorry. I think he's still doing pretty good. This is a typical Tito mid-80s match right here you're seeing. This is how he wrestles.
Yeah, I mean, they're going fucking 12 rounds, 45 minutes or whatever. They got to start off. You can't come out too hot. Like
Tito with the great facials on that headlock looks like he's shitting himself while he's holding it.
So when do they start doing the suicide dives?
Well, Tito is the pioneer of the suicide dives.
Yeah, where's the swanton?
They'll be fucking sick if, like, round six, they just, like, Panama Sunrise, Spanish Fly.
Where's the diving headbutt from the top of the ladder?
Yeah. Hey, Shiflet, did you ever think you'd watch two Tito Santana matches in the span of a week?
No, I did not think I would be watching two Tito, yet here I am. So, I like that one Tito match that we watched.
So on the first NWA Crack and Roll we recorded last week off the hiatus, we were going back and we were watching matches from pre-Crockett. So the first match we watched was Tully Blanchard when he was tag teaming with Gino Hernandez, and he took on Tito Santana and No Yob Mills Mascaris. It was a pretty fun match.
It was. It was my first time seeing Gino, which I would like to see more, which we might check out for this with this. This seems like the perfect avenue to watch some Gino matches.
Well, you guys have full control. When it's your turn, you have full control over whatever you roll and whatever you guys want to watch.
No, don't get me wrong. I love some Tito. I don't want to. Don't get it twisted. I
love Vaca?
Tito. Tito Puente, famous.
Tito Puente. Tito Puente. I'm going to just pick four naturals matches. All right.
All right. So watch a full episode of TNA Explosion or whatever.
So round two is over. So whose match is it so far, guys? Or do we really care because it's really been kind of boring?
Yeah, it's kind of boring, and it kind of pisses me off. Like, I wonder if they're going to keep doing this where it gets hot the last 30 seconds of each round. And Tito and Bob are acting like they just, like, threw punch for punch. And I'm like, dude, you had him in a headlock for 3 minutes.
Tito definitely won that one because he had him in a headlock for...
Well, he also did the arm. Yeah, so we're giving it to Tito on an arm drag and a headlock.
That's... And the jerks. The jerks when he was in the... He had the headlock in, he started jerking the neck.
Yeah, he was really wrenching it in.
Yeah, and the great facial expression why he was jerking it.
We'll be right back at this in this episode of Family Matters.
All right, we're on round three. Only three. Oh, and now we got gentleman Chris Adams in the audience.
No, I believe that was Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Oh, the voices are Mick Karch and Terry Taylor.
Yeah, I have no idea who Mick Karch is.
I'll look up Chris Adams.
Oh my God. Pedro Morales.
Pedro!
How is Pedro here?
Chris Adams with 39.
All right, so under 40. Pedro's got to be in his mid-50s at this point.
He looked at least 80.
At least.
Cowboy thought the pace was too quick, so he had to do some stalling.
Pedro was 52 there, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Not surprising, though.
I thought he was older, so that's what I was surprised about.
I didn't know he just died 2 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, this, a lot of stall. A lot.
This whole round just going to be cowboy stalling.
I'm tired. I need to take a break.
Do you think this is the match where he gets hepatitis?
I think he probably... I don't know. I think he had it before this match.
Oh, my God. He's stalling again.
I've got hepatitis in my veins. I'm Cowboy Bob, and Randy's my boy. I've got hepatitis.
That song's better than the match, Logan. Thank you. Oh, Bob! Right now, oh, arm reversals. This is hot.
Oh, he's wrenching it again.
So now we've had three arm reversals, four arm reversals. Oh, number five, going for a leg takedown. Got a leg take.
Hook you, motherfucker.
I got you, son of a bitch.
Oh, and Tito took him down with the Nanotchka roll and a headlock.
He's retching on that headlock.
The Nanotchka roll. Tito liking him headlocks. Ooh, that was a pretty nice little sunk in headlock there. That was all right.
Look how he dragged him down.
Pretty even keel round so far.
Yeah, that was almost a bulldog there.
Yeah, I kind of like that headlock. At least it looked like realistic.
Do you think the crowd's like, we're getting paid for this, so like we can't get up and leave? They definitely getting like $50, right?
I wonder how. I imagine they had free admission into the show.
Yeah, I don't know, because I think they paid Pedro $50, so I don't think the crowd gets as much as him.
Jumping Jim Brazel. I don't know if he knows how to ref or not. He's the worst.
I can't wait for them to show Carl Winslow in the crowd.
Him and Urkel just chilling.
Yeah, Urkel's going to wander into the ring, cause some shenanigans.
Man, so good wrestling going on here, guys.
Did I give you hepatitis?
You know, I feel like that wasn't some bad wrestling we just saw, at least from these two guys right now.
Yeah, but it all led back to a headlock.
So. I know. That's the problem. It all leads back to the headlocks and reversals. And
I'm going to give this higher stars than Martel Flair, though, so just be prepared.
Are you really?
No.
I was going to say, I don't know how you give this.
I might just to fuck with you, but.
Tito's like, the good psychology of a headlock is the facial expressions and jerking up and down.
He must be a violent masturbator.
And Calvin.
Tito Santana.
And there is the Prince of the Inappropriate right there. There you go.
Noted violent masturbator, Tito Santana.
All right, so we've had, what, 15 minutes of headlocks?
Oh, it's real rough. Oh, and Orton's about to be saved by the bell.
Wait. Strike hard, strike fat. Wait, jerk hard, jerk fast, jerk force.
When Tito climaxes, he goes, Arriba!
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh my God! Look at the freaking towel waving. That's so bad. And the Reed girls even look like they stepped out of an '80s video, like the physical video. It's terrible.
Yeah, I was like, she just definitely got out of an aerobics class.
Yeah.
We did DDP yoga in the back.
Oh, look, here's our scorecard, guys. And right now they have it 14-13, Santana.
Are we watching the same match? They had Bob Orton win the first round. Who the hell's this ref?
I don't know.
Who are the judges? That's what I want to
know. I mean, honestly, the first two rounds, I mean, I think, I don't know. I think, I mean, as bad as this we think it is, I think the third round was pretty even. It was equally bad on the headlocks and leg takedowns and whatever.
How many rounds is this?
It's scheduled for 12. Again, when I picked it randomly, I didn't realize how long the match was. So I do humbly apologize for that.
Here's the thing, too. If we have commentary, imagine like Terry Taylor calling this, like them doing headlocks and stuff. Like,
oh, I'll make it worse. He's a heel commentator, so he tries to be like great value Jesse Ventura.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I gotta tell you, Gorilla, this is boring as shit with all these headlocks.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Hey-o. Tito actually left his feet.
I like how he did like the little arm to Eddie, gradually kind of crawled on top of him. I'm pretty impressed at this spot right here for 1994.
That's a hell of a bridge.
Yeah, for Tito. Yeah, it's really good. I don't think Tito's that bad. I think Tito's wrestling the same match he always wrestled. It's just 8 years too late, you know?
I'm kind of shocked that Tito didn't
get there he's run. Look at jerking his head again.
Jesus. It's like he's trying to make him blow him. I'm just shocked Tito didn't get a run like Martel did in WCW. Like, he could have been a pretty fun TV champ around the same time like Martel was.
Tito would have been
teaching geometry. He was busy.
And then there's the Rocky belt over there with, I guess, the Great Value Fat Commissioner. I don't know what his name is.
Looks like Kevin Kelly.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, look at that. Second rope headlock takedown, and we have more headlock.
Come on, Tito. Break out the flying burrito. Let's go.
At least Tito's trying to make the headlock look interesting. I got to give him credit.
You won't see the flying burrito until like round 9.
With 3 seconds left.
Oh. I got news for you guys. There's a second part to this that I was going to spring on you. It actually goes 90 minutes because they go into overtime, and there's 24 rounds.
Oh, my God.
I'm kidding.
Oh, it wouldn't shock me.
I was like, I halfway believed you there for a second. I'm not going
to
lie.
I was about to be like, let's do it.
That would be a Sean thing to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
You know,
underindulgent this match so far.
You know what's really bad is as we take this, the blood and guts match is going on in AEW, and we're watching these two jamokes right now.
Not enough Panama sunrises so far.
No blood, no Panama. Yeah. No swantons.
No swantons.
I swear.
I definitely want a tope before this is over.
Brunzel has went to Bob's hand like at least every round so far, and he always does the thing where he catches it at 2.
So if Tito got him to submit at some point, would it be over, or does he just automatically?
No, it'd be over. Whoever it's the same rules, just rounds. So if he wins by pinfall or whatever, the match is over.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it went rounds no matter what, but he got way more points if he got a pinfall.
No. If he gets a pinfall or whatever submission, he wins. It's over.
Gotcha.
Boy, I can't believe how much headlock we have seen in this match.
It's the most headlock I've seen in 10 years.
I resort to reading the comments. Since this is YouTube, I'm starting to read the few comments we have on here. And one is from Tommy Evan, who says, "Not sure if anyone cares, but I just hacked my girlfriend's Instagram account using Instapawn. Can't link here, so search for it on Google. Enjoy." And then he actually got a response from Braylon Sullivan, who says, "Damn, it took about 10 minutes, but it actually worked." So...
I think reading YouTube comments on a video should be part of the gimmick of this show. That could be pretty entertaining, I bet.
NL Wrestling Archive says, "Great match, great use of the rounds gimmick." Would you guys agree with that?
Absolutely not.
Hell no.
This person should be shot.
What are we, 20 minutes in and it's been all headlock?
Somebody said, "Damn, I weigh more than Cowboy Bob Orton." What a fat piece of shit.
So I put Tito and Cowboy Bob Orton know how to entertain the crowd. Great match for Tito.
I will say Bob Orton just did have a nice heel thing. In between the rounds, he hit Tito with his forearm, and he claimed he couldn't hear it because of the headlock. So, yeah. This match is slowly killing. It's not as bad as Bruno and Billy Graham.
It's not as boring as that match, but it's pretty, yeah, it's not great.
Humperdinck has the cast in his baggy sweatpants, by the way.
I like how they go to commercial with Tito, like, groaning on the mat. Great facials by Tito. He's a good seller.
He's selling after a violent masturbating session.
All hot and sweaty and shit. It's like, damn, I need a shower. We've all been there.
Jerk hard. Jerk first. Jerk force.
Well, if you jerk that much head, you'd be making those faces, too.
I usually do.
Gross.
Yeah, same.
Oh, my goodness. Look at this. Oh, wait. Getting some elbows here.
I know, right?
Now he's talking shit to the crowd. That's like the only thing Bob Orton's done this whole match with his elbows outside. Orton turned it up now.
Slingshot.
Oh, he took 25 minutes.
That was a good one, though. That's a good slingshot.
Oh, damn.
That was good.
Shot was rough.
Yeah, it was all right. What is he holding? Is that a chair? Is that the chair? Oh, he fell off.
It's for the round chair.
He broke it too. What an idiot.
The seat fell off.
Goddamn gimmick chair broke before I hit him with it.
I love that he realized, like, as he's carrying, he's like, oh shit, there's no top to this. There's no seat.
Humperdinck, you idiot.
Jim Brunzel with his doo-doo brown sweatpants on.
It's because he's already shit his pants.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Looks like Shawn Michaels return ring wear in 2002.
Oh, for that Survivor Series? Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the Survivor Series pants.
What if Jim Brunzel's wearing the Shawn Michaels guest referee Daisy Duke shorts?
Oh, look at these hot ladies at ringside. They're into this. Jesus. Oh, wow.
Illinois 8.
Yes. The Golden Girls were feeling that
one. Illinois 8.
Scott. Jesus Christ.
I'm joking, people of Illinois. Chicago is a great city.
How dare you? No, this is not Chicago. This is Cicero.
I know. Illinois.
Is this Antonio Cicero, Illinois?
Antonio Cicero, Illinois.
That's why he had to drop the Antonio. They were going to get sued.
Scott, I feel doing Blockbuster has made you very angry, man. I'm not going to take credit. I'm going to make Blockbuster the blame.
I had
that much time with eels, I'd probably be pretty angry.
And there it is.
Sorry, eels. I love you. I promise. But
no, the Major League 2 almost broke me, and I was the one that chose that damn movie. Just how bad it was. If you ever want to go back and rewatch it, it's terrible.
As terrible as this match so far?
Yes, because 8 minutes into the movie, I had written down my notes. This movie is making me lose my will to live. And, I mean, if I was watching this match by myself, I would probably be, like, just playing on my phone the whole time. But since I'm talking to you guys, it's, like, making the time go by quick, so it's really good.
Cowboy Bob, no selling those punches like he's fucking Vader or something.
I feel like Cowboy Bob's body is like a really in shape 30-year-old, but his face is like a 65-year-old man.
That's fair. Oh, I don't know what this headbutt maneuver was. What the fuck was that?
I think he just bit him on the nipple.
This is called the grinding headbutt, where I just fall down and push my head into your chest.
Spread my hepatitis to you.
That was the nipple butt.
You're not the only one that could jerk, boy.
You jerk my head, now I'm going to bite your nipples. Oh, sleeper. Oh. The match is really heated up. We've gotten to a sleeper now.
Oh, and Tito's going to save
black incredible. And yellow
Tito with the arm ballet going down.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's selling or something else.
It's like ballet. Oh, and of course the round ends right when he's in the sleeper.
Gotta wait for it.
Oh, sorry. Are you? Am I? Are we ahead of you?
So you gotta wait for it. They gotta pay it off in round 12.
Building the heat. Round six. I feel like we're close to the end. We should not be that far off at this point. Let me see. Where are we at? All right, we're at the
Brunzel taking his notes on his little book. Fucking idiot.
All right. Santana's 1 point ahead. Like, who are these mystery judges scoring the rounds, by the way?
Oh, I'd like to think it's the same people from...
No, it says referee scorecard.
Yeah, it was Brunzel.
How do they know what his score is?
He's like, go and show him. And they're like, sir, this is not legible. This is scribbles.
Hey, Sean, I hate to tell you this, but wrestling's fake. So it's
no,
just...
I know that.
Whoa. Whoa.
Logan, I was making a point, you freaking dick.
I'm just messing, Jesus.
I'm just messing with you, too. Dick.
He shows the people his notebook and like, sir, this is just like doodles of like a puppy dog. This is not a scorecard.
Just throw some numbers in there. Fuck.
Oh, look,
I'd much rather watch the glow matches than watch this bullshit.
Yeah, it's been pretty... So we're 28 minutes into this, guys.
Yeah, the glow match had more high spots in 6 minutes than this.
The Tommy Young spot with Bob Orton.
I never really understood the point of that. If you grab the ropes, you're supposed to let go of the hold, right?
I thought so.
Oh. Yeah, so I never really understood. Oh, now we got another Tito's. Oh, watch this arm work by Tito.
Yeah, he's doing like...
He's doing the backstroke in the pool.
Yeah.
Tito's going for a Slammy Award with that arm work in the ballet.
He's summoned.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God.
That was the worst. Oh my God.
The absolute worst chip breaker you will ever see in any wrestling. Oh, that was awful.
Now he's still in the ear like it even hurt his ear at all.
That was as bad as that diving headbutt he did into the chest. That was so bad.
Oh, I thought he was going for it again.
The impact on that jaw jacker was just incredible. Goodness.
I would say it's worth fast-forwarding to the 30-minute mark just to see that. That was pretty great.
It's like in slow motion.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, like, that couldn't have been more slow motion. It was...
We're all just in shock.
I'm like, that freaking took me out. I'm stunned.
The biggest spot they've done the entire match.
That may have put it in negative star territory. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I'm not sure. You know what? I also got a... Oh, that was pretty bad, too. That should have bottom turnbuckle. Oh, my God. This is so bad.
Tito's punches are really bad. He's not even
He's punching him one time for every headlock they've done in the match.
Oh my goodness. I'm crying. So bad. This is, I got tears.
That cell job was pretty good. He like slunk down each of the turnbuckles.
And Tito is everything like he's fucking dying.
The announcer, I have it on. He just says, what a match this has been. I just heard that in the back.
What a maneuver. That was a fucking Vince.
Who was a nice little stop the head.
Oh, that was nice.
We're like so reaching for anything right now. Like, oh,
I know. I'm really trying to find some value in this match.
So, guys, don't kill me for this, but I think this is my first Bob Orton match I've ever seen, and I never want to revisit him ever again after this.
Oh, well. Please don't let this be in your view of
I like that. I did like that. That little knee head, that back to the head.
Yeah, that was nice. But everyone, like Logan said, they're just literally moving in slow motion.
Oh my God!
What the fuck was that?
The freaking shimmy shake drop. He just flopped them down. Oh my God, that's so bad.
It's a BG James move. Jake's out.
B-jizzle.
Big jizzle, actually.
He's taking notes right here. He's like,
that was Orton's way of trying to make the move look flashy. Oh, and the round's over, and Brunzel gets in the middle. What a hot and heavy match we got going here.
I will say Tito is selling like he's dead and exhausted after every round, which is nice.
No, Tito sells really well. Like Tito has this again. Tito has wrestled exactly how he wrestled in the 80s, but you know, in 90, this is not good in 94. And Orton's offense has been pretty bad.
Well, yeah. Well, it's one thing to sell like that. We have like Greg Valentine kicking the shit out of you, but when you have Bob Orton like
biting your nipple, it's a little different.
Yeah. Oh, that punch didn't even connect. That was pretty. He missed him by a mile. He's missed him by a mile here too.
Yeah. Jesus. What is he punching for AEW?
Ooh, burn.
I discriminate against all fucking wrestling companies if they're bad. Trust me.
Oh my god, that is so bad.
What the shit? Oh, are you serious? God.
Oh, look.
He just crotched himself.
Oh, Orton's selling this all time bad. Just so bad.
Oh, there was a flying
knee. You know what? I think I might have to give it 2 stars just for the comedy value.
He just did like the pee-pee dance after he got crushed.
Yeah, oh my god! The rude oversell.
He like so clearly set himself up in the corner. Like it was. So he took like a good 5 seconds to just like position himself perfectly to get kicked in the corner. Oh my goodness!
I love that Brunzel just took his foot off the rope. Like
Oh, some limb work on the leg now.
Tito got some height on that leg jump.
Orton's selling is just reaching comic levels here.
I mean, his offense is selling. I mean, just so bad. Just bad. Oh, my. Tito ran in place for a little bit before he decided to fall into the rope.
Chad Campbell woke up on the leg work there.
I bet Chad Campbell would give this 3 stars. I'm going out on a limb. He's going to give it 3 stars.
Kind of want everyone to watch it and then let us know if we just lost our
game.
Oh, shit.
I think he might have killed the camera.
All right. That was pretty cool. Probably the best thing we've watched this whole match, where he killed the cameraman.
God. He's selling more from hurting his... getting the nut shot, and then he did running headfirst into the camera.
Logan just legit yawned.
I like how Logan just did the laugh yawn. Oh! This is the flying clothesline.
Ouch.
Look, Tito's putting in work. He's trying.
That's what I'm saying. Tito has been really, really good in this, guys.
That's why I didn't totally dread this match coming in, because I knew Tito would bust his ass.
I mean... 1994 Tito is bringing it. I got to give him some credit. But Orton is just...
I want to see Cowboy Bob do like the Randy Orton, like slap the mat, like, like get on down.
Boom, boom, boom.
He like punts Tito in slow motion.
I can't
kick ever.
I can't wait to see the 1994 Sergeant Slaughter versus Bob Orton match in the AWF.
Oh, Jesus.
Back it.
I bet Chris Adams and Tito could have had a good match, though.
Whoa.
Wow. Chris pretty Adams. Athletic there.
That bridge was non-existent right there.
Oh, Brunzel, what he counts is like flailing his legs.
Now they're doing the Nanatsuka Ferrari rolls on the mat.
Yeah, but the Nashka Ferrari rolls was better than this bullshit.
This is pretty bad. Now they're just holding on to each other, and they're just tired. Grabbing Orton by his hair.
Oh, the round's about to end. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. Even the clock's in slow motion. 2.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell's 1. Going
on? And we have another break.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, they look like they're ready to box now. So they're throwing punches in round 14.
All right, guys, we're at almost 38 minutes. We're only 4 minutes away from the end of this.
We're going to have a draw. There's never going to be a
chance. Oh, my God, if there's a draw, I'll be furious. I sat through this shit.
I was like, I know this is one episode in, but I would retire if this ends in a draw.
really, this one match would make you retire from the pod altogether. That's pretty impressive if we could just get through one episode and we're done.
There's never going to be a number two.
If I were watching this on TV in 1994, I would have freaking turned it off after the first round, by the way. Look at this. And now Orton's ahead, 32-31. Where's the logic in this?
He's won three rounds in a row. That's some bullshit.
Santana is that's an unbelievable scorecard. That's crazy.
Which round do you disagree with, Sean?
All of them.
All of them.
Like, round three.
They're all zeros.
I agree. I disagree with all of them because they all are shit.
Do you think after the match, they looked at each other and was like, we really tore the house down tonight, boys?
I guarantee you they did.
That's good shit, pal.
Oh, is he actually going to do a superplex?
Oh, my God. If he does this, they both may die. Hips are going to break. I think Logan's falling asleep. I don't blame him.
What's that pole, like, taped to...
That's for the camera. That's where the camera is set up.
They have, like, a...
So they didn't really take out the cameraman. They took out the camera on the pole.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, big bump there by Orton.
This is where we get the swanton, boys.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, you think we're going to get the top rope?
Red arrow!
450 ricochet. Oh!
Oh! Sunset flip.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive move from Tito there.
If he would have won on the sunset flip, that would have been great.
Brunzel's count is trash, too. Terrible.
Brunzel is trash.
Now, normally, in a match where they've been fighting for that long, I would love where they're battling on their knees. But with this one, I'm just like, let both of them die.
Now, how can you say that about Tito?
Like, I'm sorry.
Kill Orton. Bob.
All right, fuck, marry, kill the people in the ring right now.
Oh, Jesus. I would kill Brunzel.
I'm going to marry Tito.
Yeah, I'm going to marry Tito.
Fuck Orton.
Oh, wait. He's going for it. Oh
my God. Oh, Brunzel was almost in the way.
One, two. No!
Oh, they got the belt out.
Got the belt. This guy's standing really tired.
You know who he looks like? He's Kevin McAllister's dad from Home Alone. That's who he is. And it works because both are in Illinois.
I was going to say great value Bruce Pritchard.
That works too.
I don't know, man. I feel like they're picking up the pace a little bit here.
Well, they've had 37 minutes to get ready.
I know, but for their age and how old they are and how long they've been wrestling, I mean, at this point in their career, I mean, come on, really? Give them credit a little bit.
How far is Antonio Cesaro, Illinois, from Chicago?
All right, is it over yet? I thought this was only 42. Oh, small package.
Oh, here we go. One, two. No!
Oh, my God.
Oh, what? Wait, what? Boom!
Oh, Fandango!
And we got a new champion.
Oh, the crowd goes wild.
I think that last round was obviously the best round. I didn't mind the last round at all.
Okay. It only took 40 minutes to get there.
It only took us 40 minutes to get there. So Tito Santana is your first AWF champion, and I got news for you guys. He is also their last.
Aw.
Him and Orton go back and forth once, but at the end, Tito is the final champion. So the only two AWF champions ever were Orton and Santana.
Yeah, that's definitely the WWF championship on a Rocky belt. Or the Rocky belt. Legit.
I do like the finish, though. I always like it when Tito hits the flying burrito for the pin.
Yeah, he gets some nice air on it and can like stretch out long way along across the room. Across the ring.
Crowd's going crazy for him, though.
The sweatpants were pretty tight on Brunzel there. He's showing some nice leakage.
And how non-politically correct is the term flying burrito in 2021?
Oh, it's terrible.
All right. Jesus. So the match is over.
It just suggested Ricky Steamboat and Tito Santana versus Don Morocco and Mr. Fuji. Yes.
That's not a bad match.
I was recommended for PTBN YouTube Roulette, Ricky Steamboat and Bret Hart. So that may be a match on next month.
I actually did that show on Senior Video, that match.
Okay.
By the way, 4 stars. Go out of your way to watch it. It's an amazing match.
Okay. I'll check it out.
All right, guys. So that was our final wrestling show of the night. 40, by the way, almost half of this pod, just for the record. So I will go around the horn for final thoughts on that match. So I'll go with Jake first.
I'm gonna have to go dud. I love you, Tito. I actually really like Cowboy Bob too, but just it's just so long to get to anything like you said, the last round, but it takes like 38 minutes to get to it. And the jawbreaker was just absurd.
The jawbreaker and the nipple butt. Those were my two favorite moves of the whole match.
The hepatitis switch.
I mean, I would recommend this match to watch from a purely comic value, but trying to get through 42 minutes of just to get to those two moves is really tough. But all right, Scott.
I did have it as -1 star, but it gets brought up to a dud for the last round. But like Jake said, it was just like we shouldn't take 38 minutes to get ready for both of these people. It was a slog to get through. My favorite part was Logan laugh yawning. That was my favorite part of the match.
Yeah, it's like I take 38 seconds to get ready. I couldn't go 38 minutes if I tried. All right, Logan, what about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Scott. It escaped negative territory in that last round, so I'll go dud as well. Just too long and too boring.
I'm going between a dud and a quarter star because I didn't think Tito was bad in that match at all.
Here's the thing. Could you ever see yourself watching this again?
No, never in a million years will I watch this match ever again. But I also appreciated the work Tito did to make the match something when Orton was just a complete shitbag. You know what? I'll go with you guys. I'll go dud. I guess I have to. I don't have a choice. All right. So we have a dud. The Rockers match was anywhere from 2.5 to 3. The Nanatsuka was a quarter to a 3/4. And Punk, we had 3 4-stars and 3 3/4-stars. So tonight, winner is CM Punk versus Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. So that is our first 4 matches of PTBN Live YouTube Roulette. On our next episode, I believe, Scott, you are picking the 4 matches we will be watching?
Yes, I will be. I'll be doing that, and we will be finding that out sooner rather than later.
All right. Excellent. So, guys, thank you for joining us on the first episode. I want to thank Logan. I'd like to thank Jake and Scott. I had a really good time. I love doing live watches. And you guys obviously are some of the folks I like to do live watches with. You're some of my favorite people on PTBN. Just full disclosure. So I definitely wanted to do this with you guys. So thank you for joining us. And I look forward to doing this once a month. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Most definitely. If this was a harbinger of things to come, I'll look forward to the future.
Yes, and I like how we had that little silence there, like you were no-selling the greatness I was calling. Very, very, very on brand with the silence with Sean trying to praise you, and you guys just want to shit on him, so thank you for that. All right, so before we go, we'll do some plugs. So, Jake, I'll let you go first. What would you like to plug?
Yeah, since we're only doing this once a month, I'll just say I do the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast on the North-South feed, and I join you, Sean, and Logan on Highway to the Impact Zone also, and also do PTB NXT here on the wrestling feed.
Excellent. Scott?
Yeah, I do Blockbuster Rewind once a month with Eric Eels and Andy Atherton. We have a rotating fourth person every month. We pick different movie franchises to watch. I'm also on Battlestar on the 25th Century with the great Sean Kidd. And we are going through back and forth with Battlestar Galactica and Buck Rogers in the 25th Century episodes. And that can be found on Twitter at Scott_Shiflet.
All right. And last but not least, the Prince of the Inappropriate, Logan.
Listen to Scott sucking up to Sean Kidd. The great. What a cat.
Here's the thing. I I am like Jeff Jarrett. Ain't I great? I am great.
Well, also, Logan, with the Battlestar in 25th Century, I thought I was going to hate watch that show, but those shit are enjoyable. So that's why I had to shout Sean out for that.
Thank you. Sean knows his shit sometimes, just not a lot of the times.
Yeah, I'm just creating with the shiftlet. But like Jake said, Highway to the Impact Zone, we're about to do the final resolution pod. We'll do that in a couple weeks. Chicken Salad, we just did Backlash 05. Popcorn Chicken Salad, we watched the Twilight Zone movie. From Squared Circle to the Silver Screen, me and Roger are going to do They Live with Roddy Piper in it next. So I'm looking forward to doing that with him. So. But Sean, you're on every show with me, so.
you make my job easy because I don't really have to plug anything because you and Scott are on majority of the pods I'm on. So thank you for covering my butt there. The only thing I will plug on my end is NWA Crock and Roll. We are back from hiatus, so we will have 6 new episodes over the summer, and Scott Shiflett is on the first 2 of those. So please give those a listen. They're a lot of fun. We do the same thing a little bit we do on this show. Except I'm picking matches from YouTube for people that wrestled in Crockett, pre-Crockett. So 28 matches we'll be watching over 4 episodes that are a lot of fun. And it varies from the very, very bad to some hidden gems. And I know, Scott, we had only recorded the first episode of this recording. I know that episode was a lot of fun. And it was great having you on that as well. So with that, I appreciate all of you listening. We will be back in 4 weeks, and Scott will have the run of the roulette, and we will see what we watch then. So everybody have a good night, and we will see you then. It's why they call me Bad Company, and I can deny Bad Company till the day I die. Rebel souls, deserters we are called. Chose a gun and threw away the sword. Now these times